The cheese is cold.
So,
old cheese, Shaq. And the chips are stale.
Come on, man.
And the thing is, you know, some places get you good nachos, they put jalapenos. The sun be putting pickles on it.
Oh, come on, like, son. How about the parking over there, Chuck?
It's plenty of parking.
Welcome to Cold Pickle Nachos, a Phoenix Suns podcast that promises not to be passive-aggressive when the time comes to part ways. I'm Logan Mosier, and I'm happy to be passive-aggressive to start, though, because I'll be laughing and laughing about how funny Bradley Beal is all episode long. With me, as always, is the wise Ryan Walker, a man who once convinced me not to hand Robert Sarver a crisp dollar bill at Summer League and say, "Here, it seems like you need this more than I do."
That is a true story that one day we're gonna actually tell on the podcast.
Remember when we kept drafting cash considerations? I wonder how his career turned out. Anyway, plenty happened on Planet Orange this week. Summer League wrapped up, the Suns became connected to one of the most talented restricted free agents on the market, and Suns fans were openly feuding with Damian Lee and Ish Wainwright. We're going to talk about all of it and more, but first, here's the Cold Pickle Nachos starting five, honoring our hateful heritage as Suns fans with five teams we will not be rooting for this season. Number one, we will not be rooting for the Los Angeles Clippers. The Lob City Clippers whined more to the refs than any team I can remember. The organization also employed Paul George, and yet, for most Suns fans, this upcoming Clippers crew should be the least likable yet. Harden is a foul-baiting pioneer. Kawhi has the personality of a cold fish robot, and it will be hard to reconcile seeing Bradley Beal playing at all, considering he's literally dead to me. CP3 is not giving CPR to this team's likability, so they're an easy hate watch.
Yes, number two, the Miami Heat. Should I care about the Heat in any way? Of course not. Do I care? Yes, I do. Half that fan base probably thinks they're getting Booker and a first for Terry Rozier and Pelle Larsson. And the other half would complain about losing Larsson. I hope they lose the play-in for the 500th year in a row.
Number three, the Rockets. Oh, Kevin found Bradley's peace sign funny? Well, we're going to find it funny when Kevin undermines the culture of yet another franchise. Personally, I hope Katie heard that because I love having wildly unnecessary book length back and forths on Twitter. Doesn't everyone?
Yes. Number four, the Lakers. Of course they ended up with Luka and Ayton. I'd go into all the other reasons I can't stand the Lakers, but instead, I'll point out LeBron clearly doesn't like them either. And just call it a day.
And finally, number five, the team we're not rooting for, whatever team Damian Lee plays for next year. How dare you laugh at Bradley Beal dissing the Suns? I had to watch you rehab on this team forever with no upside in sight. And now you're acting like a KD stan on Twitter? Sorry, Damian. That means I won't be a fan of whatever team you sign with this summer. Bad news, hand down, man down, or whatever you call the LA Fitness Rec League team you have to settle for. Okay, just to be clear, that was parody. Except for the part about the Lakers. We genuinely hate the Lakers. But I have no actual ill will for Lee, who was literally just laughing at a former coworker's social media post. I just think it was important to kind of mirror the toxicity that was Suns Twitter this past week. And with that, let's talk about the open feud between NBA players, the Suns organization, and Suns fans.
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's start with Bradley Beal. I want to frame this conversation first by saying people were saying messed up things in the crowd to Beal and his wife and kids. And so, like, I understand why he was like, that was completely out of line. A lot of people get like way out of line on this type of stuff. That's like a given.
And that cannot be understated enough because
understated enough is quite a statement.
Yeah, listen, like we are very passionate Suns fans, and it was disgusting the things that the toxicity that were at those games. And it was just the things that came out. It was bad.
Yeah. So that said, I have seen a lot of goodbye messages in my time as a fan of the NBA, and the peace sign was pretty weak. It was pretty bad for a team that you joined, had almost no success with. I'm just gonna say it. You hear that everyone says that Beal's like this great guy. Like, nobody is like ripping on Beal as a great guy. And I believe that. But like, great guy and great employee are not the same things. And he was a real bad employee, because like, that peace sign to me is just like a sign of how passive aggressive he was being this whole time. He comes out and he says, oh, I'm fine with coming off the bench. But he's not fine with coming off the bench. If you were fine with coming off the bench, things would have worked. Oh, I'm fine playing point guard, but you weren't fine. So it's like, I'd almost rather have a player who is like, no, I won't play point guard right off the bat, and then you can deal with it. But instead, he's like quietly undermining us for two seasons a row while getting paid over $50 million
a year. Yeah, and that really is the key to this whole thing, is that he was getting paid like a superstar. He missed a bunch of games. He wasn't a good fit. And by all accounts in the locker room, he was becoming more and more of a headache, to the point of, even when they were arguing over a buyout amount, where he's still getting paid $100 million not to work for the Suns, he was childish enough to like make that a big deal. So it's sad. I was the other day, I was thinking, can you think of another player who left a franchise like this?
I mean, kind of Eric Bledsoe.
And of course, Logan is referring to Eric Bledsoe's tweet, I don't want to be here. And McDonough just saying, we saw that tweet and Bledsoe will no longer be with the Suns moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Harden is kind of like this. Like, it's not, but I don't know. It was just so childish, and it was just indicative of, like, I keep going back to him being insulted for being asked to play like Jrue Holiday. It's like, you wish you were Jrue Holiday, man.
Yeah, it's
so frustrating.
And we'll get into this more, but I think it's hilarious how people think that the Suns mismanaged him and that now he's out of the Suns organization. He's going to go back to being 28-point superstar Beal. And
well, I don't think people are thinking that, but they are saying that, like, oh, he's just as good as Norm Powell. And it's like, well, that's disrespectful to Norm Powell. The Bartlesteins are blowing my mind. I can't deal with the Bartlesteins at this point. The elder Bartlestein, Beal's agent, being like, you got to let Bradley be Bradley. And it's like, well, you know who let Bradley be Bradley? The Washington Wizards. How did that work out for them for like a decade?
Great point.
Like, if Beal's your guy, you're not a good team, right? And then he's not happy not being the guy, which, you know, he's going to the Clippers. I'm already hearing talk about they might want to bring him off the bench. He's got Harden, who is not – I mean, that's a guy who can't – who needs the ball in his hand and can't play defense. They have Dunn, who's the defender, but, like, I guess you could play him with Beal, but then you're sitting Harden, and apparently they'll probably get Chris Paul. You can't really play him with Paul all that much. He's going to be the third guy on offense most of the time that he's out there. And, you know, if you could trust him to be a guy who's happy to come off the bench, be a guy who's happy to play a role, then we wouldn't be in this situation.
Right. And that really is the point, because ultimately, if Beal was okay with coming off the bench, we would live with him making $50 million and just go from there. But he wasn't. And he was big enough to say, I will make your life miserable if you keep me here. And to think, oh, now he's going to the Clippers, and all of a sudden, he, in a contract year, is going to be cool with playing third, fourth, fifth fiddle and coming off the bench? No, that will last three games.
And yeah, it's like saying if DeAndre Ayton just had a better attitude and better basketball IQ, he'd be a superstar. And it's like, yeah, but he doesn't have that. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
And like, I guess with Beal, there's a chance that he could have that moment. But right now he's trying to like get that next big contract and he still thinks he's great. So I don't see it. I can't wait for that to be a problem. It'll probably go great for a few months and then it'll be a nightmare and I can't wait. Rod is strong in me today.
You know what it reminds me of? There's a joke that's often made in comedy movies these days. They're looking at video and one person looks at it and goes, I've seen this. Enhance. Make the picture more clear. And the person doing it is like, that's not a thing. Whatever you, that's not a thing. That's what they're saying with Beal. Enhance. Make him perfect. Like NBA 2K.
If Isaiah Thomas were 7 feet tall, he would have been a great center.
Yeah.
Speaking of can't change, do you want to say anything about Durant getting in open feuds with anyone and everyone? And acknowledging his stance and making it seem like we don't want to see him succeed because we don't like his supporters and not because we didn't enjoy the horrible basketball teams that the Suns put out on the floor while he was here.
Yeah, I think ultimately, like, Houston fans are soon gonna see it. The reality is, stats-wise, still epic. One of the best ever, but
let's look at it this way. You know where he wore out his welcome? Golden State, when they were winning.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. And Houston, let's be honest, like, what's a legitimate, positive, goal-oriented outcome for his tenure in Houston?
They're going to need to win a title.
Yes. They're gonna have to win a title. And if they don't, if heaven forbid they are worse next year than the 2 seed, guess who's gonna get the majority of the blame?
Fred VanVleet.
Fred VanVleet, yes.
But if Fred VanVleet was 6'8", he'd be a good point guard.
Yes, exactly.
No, I get it. Yeah, he's going to get, and then it's going to be a whole thing. The Rockets also have almost an embarrassment of riches, which sounds good, but sometimes if you have 12 guys that think they're really good, and then Durant is very, very high volume, that can cause problems.
Oh, absolutely. Turnovers and ISO ball and all of these things, and how many times before Ema starts barking at Durant for losing the ball for the 8th time in a game in a close game?
Yeah, that's a coach who's actually going to come at him, and I'm not sure that goes well.
Yeah, so I will be very fascinated to watch them on League Pass and just see how they interact, and I'm very interested.
Yeah, for sure. How do we feel about what that response with all the players laughing at Beal basically clowning the Suns? Do we think that's literally just, haha, that's funny, I did a laugh? Or do we think being dunked on by Tyus Jones, ultimate irony, and Damian Lee and Ish Wainwright and Bam Adebayo, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think we're reading too deep into that?
I think that when it comes to disgruntled former employees that were let go because of poor performance, reading into anything they have to say afterwards is meaningless. And I think there is the fact that the only people that weighed in were all of the failed attempts the Suns had to bring in somebody and hope that they worked out, and they were terrible. So,
yeah, I'm not convincing myself that this is a team that's competing for a title anytime soon, but I don't think that was happening anyway. And right now I'll settle for, I like the team. I feel like the team is trying. The team is fun. Because it's been a while.
Yes, 100%.
And in that spirit, how about a little game? We are going to talk about Summer League. We're going to talk about Jonathan Kuminga. So stick around with us for here. I know that there's a lot of complaining, but we enjoy complaining. We're Suns fans. We're the Cubs before they actually won it, you know? So this little game is going to be something called Start Bench Cut. You've seen versions of that on social media, I'm sure, but this is a little different. It's more like F, Mary, Kill, but it's just for Ryan choosing Suns fandom. Okay, so okay. We're annoyed at Beal and KD right now, but are we historically annoyed? So I'm going to give Ryan three different Suns, and he's going to pick a start, a bench, and a cut. But it's not which of these Suns is better. It's which of these Suns he likes more.
Okay. All right. I'm ready. Okay.
First one, Steve Nash, Charles Barkley, Devin Booker. Start, bench, cut. I'm not saying who's the best. I'm saying who's got the poster on your wall.
Sure. Start, Devin Booker. That's easy. Bench, Steve Nash. That's easy. And cut Charles Barkley because he's still bitter 30 years later.
Can't believe the disrespect you're showing to the man who inspired the Cold Pickle Nachos name. All right, so we talked about the players we like. The rest of this is going downhill. This is about who you're most upset long term. Okay. You're starting the person you can live with. You're benching the person who annoys you the second most, and you're cutting the person you just can't stand as a Suns fan. We're jumping right into it here. Landry Shamet, Drew Eubanks, Tyus Jones.
Why would you do this? Okay, here's the thing. Logan understands this, and Drew Eubanks and Landry Shamet have a special place in my heart for
lucky number 14.
Everything I've hated about basketball. So by default, Tyus Jones start, Landry Shamet bench, Drew Eubanks, I just never want to see ever again.
I can't believe after this season, you're still starting Tyus.
Yeah, I know.
You're basically Coach Bud.
You did this. You did
against
this.
All odds, Tyus gets the start. Yeah, I might have Shamet ahead of Tyus, but yeah, Eubanks is definitely third there. Okay, here we go. You ready for this one?
Ready.
Sam Cassell, Antonio McDyess, Kevin Durant.
Okay. For those of you who are too young or don't remember, Antonio McDyess did the ultimate FU where we traded for him And then almost immediately, he went right back to the team that we traded him from. And it was just a giant FU. And that hurt me deeply.
Dude, such a nugget.
Such a nugget. And so I'm...
Cassell was part of the Barkley trade.
I don't have as much hate in my heart for Sam Cassell. So
you're starting
Sam Cassell. I will bench Kevin Durant and I will cut Antonio McDyess.
It's like it was yesterday. But you know why you had McDyess lower than Durant? And I think this is a knock against Durant. It hurt more. Losing McDyess hurt more. By the time we lost Durant, we were like, okay, move on.
Yeah, it did. And it was the fact that Antonio McDyess, like when he came here, we thought, oh my gosh, we got a future. And then to lose him just like that, to go back to the team that kept our assets and got him back, it was the ultimate gut punch.
And all right. Speaking of gut punches, we got two more of these.
Okay.
Start bench cut. Eric Bledsoe. Brandon Knight. Marcus Morris.
Well, Marcus Morris is a cut for sure. Brandon Knight, for all of his, like, he made a lot of money and he sucked. He didn't actively go out of his way to be a jerk. And so I would bench Eric Bledsoe and I would start Brandon Knight.
Brandon Knight was basically like a more palatable Beal.
Yeah, but he was... Beal on the basketball point. Like
early on after we got Bradley Beal, I sent you. He was like a few games into his time with the Suns, and I sent you a picture of Brandon Knight and just said Beal under it. You did not enjoy that at the time.
There are a few times in our friendship that I've been more mad at you than that.
Brandon Knight also had two of the funniest moments in basketball history with the getting absolutely destroyed on an alley-oop by Andre Drummond. And then the easiest game-winning layup in history, just completely screwing it up. Those are good times.
Yeah.
All right. Finally.
Okay.
Bradley Beal. Robert Horry. Markieff Morris.
Oh, you're evil. You are evil. Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm going to say cut Markieff Morris.
Not a fan of the Morai. It must be hard to watch ESPN and all their great programming.
Yes, it is. I would bench.
I love that I'm making you like say something nice about Horry or Beal here.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to bench Beal and start Horry. Oh
my goodness.
I know.
Ryan Walker, the biggest Robert Horry fan this side of San Antonio and Los Angeles.
Big shot, Rob. I just said something good about.
It is funny, though, because he is beloved in other places. But boy, it didn't go well here.
Did not go well. Danny Ainge getting a towel thrown in his face. He's still upset.
That was our version of F, Mary, Kill with start, bench, cut. I know. I would say I hope you enjoyed it, but I know you did not.
It was therapeutic.
All right. Let's get to the thing a lot of people are talking about right now. And I'm going to toot my own horn because I can. When I found out we were going to wave and stretch Beal, immediately, the first thing I thought about was we can combine contracts of players to make trades. And the thing that made the most sense in my head immediately was I could see us going after Jonathan Kuminga. And the reason for that is you want to go after guys. If you're the Suns and you don't have a lot of draft picks and you don't have a lot of flexibility in the future, you want to try to get high-level guys on the cheap. And this is probably your best chance to strike to get a potential star in Kuminga, because the upside is high, but the downside is low, and we've seen the downside.
Right. And I can say for everyone listening, Logan absolutely nailed this. He has been on the Kuminga bandwagon for a while, and just pointing it out that the Warriors have been linked to every team in the league, and it's just the Suns are the latest.
If we trade for Kuminga, I'm going to start one of those really annoying Suns Twitter accounts where I just act like I have sources and just predict a bunch of stuff and then just point out if one of them comes right.
That seems like that's been happening. Interesting.
Okay, so I want to talk about can we get him, and then I want to talk about should we get him.
Okay.
Can we get him? I think the Warriors are really fed up with Kuminga. I think the fan base is fed up with Kuminga. There's a rumor he turned down last year a five-year, $150 million contract, that he wants $25 million plus now still, that he doesn't want to be in Golden State. Obviously, he and Kerr have not gotten along really well or meshed well. So at a certain point, just like with the Suns and Beal, you kind of want to get rid of a guy and you'll take less. There's also not a ton of suitors, it seems, that are willing to pay a lot. So the question is some combination of a second round pick, Nick Richards, Royce O'Neal, and or Grayson Allen enough to get it done? Or, you know, you shop Grayson Allen or O'Neal for picks in a three-team trade. But essentially, if you're the Suns, you'd be okay probably moving Allen, O'Neal, Richards in the second or some variation of that. If you're the Warriors, theoretically, that's not a great trade on paper, but it might be the best trade you can get. Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think one of the reasons it's possible is that Kuminga's coming off of his worst year as a pro.
It's coming off seven great games, though. His last seven games is killing it.
Okay, but he shot a career low from three. He shot a career low from field goal percentage. He was distracted. It's just...
And he doesn't want to be a role player. So you're bringing him in to be one of your top three scorers.
Right. And
you trust him as a top three scorer.
Right. And so to answer the question, can we get him? I think if we put enough assets on the table, yes, we can get him.
Now the question is, should we get him? And I think a couple things here. I don't think we can overpay short of doing something I can't imagine us doing, which is including Ryan Dunn or a future first. Maybe we'd include Oso. I wouldn't love that. But in general, I think the idea is some variation of the previous assets we talked about. And if that's the price, I think you'd do it. But you also have to factor in it would be a sign and trade, and how much are we paying him? Because you don't want to give up stuff and pay him $30 million a year. You also don't want to give up a bunch of stuff and pay him like 1 year $25 million, right?
Right.
And if he were willing to accept a long-term deal at $20 million a year, he'd probably just have gotten signed by Golden State by now.
In theory, yeah.
Yeah, it might be that he's enough unhappy with the fit that it's not just money, but I think money does factor in here. So if let's say you could get him for O'Neal, Richards, a second, and whatever you were able to move Grayson Allen for, and you get him for 3 years, $75 million. Do you do that?
See, that is really getting around a borderline situation, because often what you see with these 3 year deals is that third year is going to be a player option. I don't like that. I think based on how this has gone and the restricted free agents that are still out there, I don't see a scenario, considering we're going to have $20 million in dead money every year. I don't want to be in a position where we're overpaying for a guy who...
And then you can't move him.
Yeah, that can't be moved. And so 25 is the high end of what I would be comfortable with. And that really then does become, it's all relative. If we can get him for closer to what the mid-level is, then sure. And maybe that could happen, considering the Warriors are
mid-level, but like maybe closer to like 20.
Huh?
I don't know about closer to mid-level, but maybe like closer to 20.
Yeah, like, and maybe, and that only happens if the Warriors are just absolutely done with him.
Right. Let's talk about that. If the Warriors are absolutely done with him, it's like, okay, did we just bring another headache onto the team? Or is it a good opportunity? So the downside here is he's mainly a scorer. He doesn't really give you role-playing vibes. If he did, he would fit really well in Golden State. We could use a third scorer, because if you think about it, obviously you have Booker, you have Jalen Green, and then who else on our team is really like a shot creator? Dunn, Brooks, all of our rookies, Mark Williams. These are really good players, but they're all kind of finishers more than straight up scorers. We don't have anyone on the bench really either who's a guy who's going to come in and maybe give you 20 a night on any given night.
Right.
So we have space for that. He's absolutely explosive. He has huge upside. He's a little undersized for a four, but you'd be playing him next to Dunn or Brooks, and you'd be playing him next to a very big center. So I think that works. I like the rotation of having Dunn, Brooks, and Kuminga pretty much at all times. And if you need to go bigger, you could put Oso at the four sometimes. I think it's a really good fit from that standpoint. I think there's room for him to succeed. There's upside there, but it's all what ifs. It's certainly not a given. And you run the risk of, have we created a team where Devin Booker doesn't really fit as well because the G League Ignite team from a few years ago is putting up all the shots with Green and Kuminga?
I'll say this. I do not believe the Warriors when they say we're going to keep him to the deadline and trade him then. I think the worst case scenario for the Warriors is to go into the season with him on the roster and have all the questions be, what do you do? Because if he's not part of their long-term future, why would Kerr play him? And if he's not playing, that's going to be a major problem.
There's a reason we traded KD and moved Beal as soon as we could.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to establish who you are as a team and as establish culture. And you don't want to start your season with headaches, and he's a headache for them. I guess the question is, would he then be a headache for us?
Right. And that I don't know. The only thing I do know is the Suns paying 25 plus million plus giving away assets for him at this moment in time, it's a pass for me.
Okay. I do think that this one weakness on the Suns is they don't have that third scorer. I think Dunn is probably the guy with the most upside, but I'm not sure I want Dunn on that route. Think about Mikal Bridges. A lot of guys are elite defenders, and then the evolution is for them to become better scorers. But as that happens, as Mikal became the number one guy on the Nets, his defense kind of fell off. And that tends to happen.
Great point.
I'd rather Ryan Dunn just be an improved shooter, a nice finisher who can do some creation, but keep him focused on defense. So I could see Kuminga being a nice fit in that rotation.
Yeah, and that is a good point. And that's why I'm not shutting the door on this completely, because if we can find a way to get him for either a very cheap asset and then pay him, or we give up the necessary assets but get him for a good contract, I think he makes a lot of sense on the Suns.
You need to hit on guys like Kuminga when you don't have draft picks, when you don't have a lot of ability to sign free agents going forward because you have $20 million against you on the cap every year. You need guys like Kuminga that are playing well above their contracts, who are turned into studs. And he's definitely got a chance. He's got the talent.
Agreed.
All right. Summer League recap. The Suns went 2-3. They rested a lot of players a lot of the time. So I don't think we have a ton to add from our previous stuff, but let's just go through and give our overall thoughts on some of the key players. Young Dikembe, Mr. Maliwatch.
Yes. Finished at 10 points, 6 rebounds, and over a block a game, and that was in just 19 or 20 minutes a game. So a little bit more raw than maybe some people thought, but I thought overall he shot a bunch of threes, which was interesting. And I think the Suns wanted to see what he looked like there in that situation. Everywhere else, I thought he was a solid B+.
I watched Summer League from two angles. One is, how much do I think this guy's going to contribute this year? And the other is, how does what I'm seeing affect my future projection for him? And maybe this is the Homer Suns fan in me, but I have a little less confidence that he's going to have a huge impact this year. I think he'll have some really great moments. I think if he really makes a big impact, it's probably going to be towards the end of the year. But I actually am slightly more excited for the long-term projection, because I know he did some things not at a super high level, but I don't think people value enough the fact that this 18-year-old, 7'2", high-level prospect who only dunked in college has a smooth release point and is trying to dribble and make moves, can hit free throws, is trying all of this stuff, and maybe isn't looking great, but he definitely, you can see he's 18. You can see the path there. And when you combine that with his 7'7" wingspan and solid athleticism and work ethic and commitment and personality, I think I'm higher on him long term than I was. And I think that is going to come across as convenient, but that's where I'm at. But I do think maybe a little less bullish on him for this year.
And that's totally fair. And I think this also follows the narrative that if he can develop a shot, not saying elite, but a shot that makes him a threat, you can kind of see long-term, maybe he fits next to you know, a center, or fits next to a big lineup. You know,
if I'm Oso Iguodaro, and I had this thought, but I am thinking of a tweet from a 4-point play, David from Australia. But so I'm going to credit him because I'm thinking of that tweet as I'm saying it. If I'm Oso Iguodaro, I am heavily invested in the success of Kamon Mollywatch and his development, because if he can be the guy that they want him to be, he's actually a perfect fit with Oso.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. And long term, like that, it would be one of the best scenarios for the Suns.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay, Rashear Fleming. He didn't do a ton. He didn't play a lot of games and not that many minutes within those games. He never put up huge stats, but you could see the moments with his athleticism. You could see his three-point shot looks good. He kind of struck me in the same way that Dunn and Oso did last year, which is he's strictly a finisher at this point, but everything is there for him to develop into something exciting.
Yep. Agreed.
I think that's pretty much the take to have on him at this point. We're going to have to see more, but I have a sneaky suspicion he's a guy who is not a summer league guy and will translate well as things go. My one concern with him is as athletic as he is, he did seem to have some trouble staying in front of dribblers on defense, but I think that's more he needs to learn some stuff rather than he can't be a
absolutely defender. And you know, that's to be expected, especially if you're coming off of a sore knee, right? Maybe you're not going to be so quick to do the things without thinking about it and worry.
He did not look sore on that. I think they ended up calling it a foul, but he had an incredible block where he did get beat, but then he came from behind and had incredibly athletic play that got reviewed, and it could have gone either way. So knee looked good on that one.
Yeah.
Kobe Brea. I think we've said enough on this podcast about Kobe Brea. He looked incredible in his second game after we gave effusive praise. His last game, it didn't look good, but it turned out that he had a hurt hand. So I'm going to give him a pass on that one and say if we trade Grayson, I could see Kobe Brea having an impact this year.
Yep. Agreed.
Dunn and Oso, I don't have a lot to say other than I'm excited about both of them. Ryan Dunn was our leading scorer for this summer league team, which is an exciting thing for a player who literally was drafted only for his defense.
Yeah, Dunn and Oso showed exactly what you hope a second-year player would show, meaning they came in, they recognized and addressed their flaws from their rookie season. And you could tell that not only were they all mostly the best players on the court, but they were working on what was ultimately their flaws from last season. And you just love to see it.
I would have liked to see some shot attempts from Oso. Just see what it looks like. It's like seeing Bigfoot in the wild and Oso three-point attempt. DJ Huntley, this was an up and down. I know not a lot of people watched the most recent game. I had almost written off Huntley, which is like a ridiculous thing to do over summer league, but he made a lot of boneheaded plays in the middle of summer league. Just really low IQ basketball plays. Sometimes that's because you're nervous. Sometimes that's because you don't have a good basketball IQ. The last game he played, he looked excellent. I think it was 18-9, something like that. The guy hustles. The guy's long. The guy moves well. I'm excited about him as a two-way. I can't imagine him doing anything on – the regular season team this year, but he's exactly what you want in a two-way to develop.
And we mentioned this last podcast, but I really do appreciate the fact that every time he got the ball, even if he was 30 feet from the basket, he was trying to get it to where he could dunk it. And that was awesome.
Now, is there anyone who stood out besides those players? To me, it's a clear answer. It's Boogie Ellis. He was the second leading scorer just behind Ryan Dunn. He had some good games and some bad games, but he definitely is a good player at this level. I don't see a path to him to the main squad without some development, but I would be excited to see him join the Valley Suns.
Yeah, ultimately, he is your prototypical scoring guard. He can put the ball in the basket. You wonder if he could do anything else to make everyone else around him better. But for the summer league, he showed well, and I hope he gets a contract with the Valley Suns, or for his sake, better yet, somewhere else.
Anything else you'd like to add about summer league?
Just excited nobody got hurt, and excited to see what they can bring in the season.
Nobody got hurt. I agree. That's the big one. Rapid fire. Let's finish this off talking about combo guards nixed by Gambo. To my understanding, no Chris Paul, no Ben Simmons, no Malcolm Brogdon, no Russell Westbrook. DeAnthony Melton's probably going to the Warriors. Who's even left?
It's a good question.
Gary Payton. Gary Payton the second.
Yep.
Delano Banton. DeLon Wright.
Okay. Like, yes, I guess I'm playing the wait and see card to see, you know, who gets like a surprise release or.
Well, and that's a great transition to the next thing I want to talk about. Marcus Smart, according to reports, after he was released by the Wizards, it was pretty inevitable he was going to sign with the Lakers, but the Suns did have interest. That makes sense to me. I'm not sure I would have loved watching Marcus Smart play on my favorite team for a full season, but the Suns definitely wanted him, and I get why.
I'm going to enjoy hate watching the Lakers even more.
Perfect. Okay. Any free agents at any position that you have your eyes on right now?
Not anyone that I'm feeling confident about. I kind of want to keep that option open. I think referring again to David in Australia, I think he actually tweeted the Suns are about 5,000 under the first apron right now. So anybody they sign is going to cause them to go over the first apron. So I'm wanting them to do a move first, and then let's see where we are and still have our flexibility.
Last thing I want to add, Devin Booker, while Suns Twitter was falling apart, kept it cool literally in Iceland. Just want to say appreciate Book.
He's our everything.
Okay. Anything else to add?
I will say lastly, I think they will make at least one or two more moves in the summer.
Dumping Royce O'Neal for like seconds.
Huh?
Even if it's like moving Royce O'Neal for seconds to get off the contract.
And get a I don't think that they're done. I think that they will make a couple extra moves. So.
Yeah, I think they'll keep their eyes open for a move like Kuminga if that lines up the right way. Otherwise, they'll look for some flexibility. Hopefully, maybe sign a guy like Gary Payton when it works. D'Anthony Melton, I think, is a bit of a pipe dream, but who knows? But yeah, it's been a crazy month, and I expect something will happen in the next few weeks to continue that. And thus concludes another scintillating episode of Cold Pickle Nachos. Tune in next week where we'll either cover big free agency news that happens or do 90 minutes on Isaiah Livers. Until then, wait a second. Ryan, are we allowed to say peace out anymore? Ah, screw it. Peace out, homies.
Peace out, homies.